You always said it was impossible for women to be wizards, said Smith.
He was actually rather impressed. Granny Weatherwax had never been known to turn anyone into anything.
Never mind that now, said Granny, calming down a bit. She needs training. She needs to know how to control. For pity's sake, put some clothes on that child.
Gulta, get dressed and stop Greslin, said his father, and turned back to Granny. You said there was some sort of teaching place, he hazarded.
The Unseen University, yes. It's for training wizards.
And you know where it is?
Yes,
lied Granny, whose grasp of geography was slightly worse than her knowledge of subatomic physics. Smith looked from her to his daughter, who was sulking.
And they'll make a wizard of her, he said.
Granny sighed.
I don't know what they'll make of her, she said.
And so it was that a week later, Granny locked the cottage door and hung the key on its nail in the privy. The goats had been sent to stay with a sister witch further along the hills, who had also promised to keep an eye on the cottage. Badass would just have to manage without a witch for a while. Granny was vaguely aware that you didn't find the Unseen University unless it wanted you to, and the only place to start looking was a town of Ahulan Katash, a sprawl of 100 or so houses about 15 miles away. It was where you went to once or twice a year if you were a really cosmopolitan badassian. Granny had only been once before in her entire life and hadn't approved of it at all. It had smelt all wrong, she'd got lost, and she distrusted city folk with their flashy ways. They got a lift on the cart that came out periodically with metal for the smithy. It was gritty, but better than walking, especially since Granny had packed their few possessions in a large sack. She sat on it for safety. Esk sat cradling the staff and watching the woods go by. When they were several miles outside the village, she said,
I thought you told me plants were different in foreign parts.
So they are.
These trees look just the same.
Granny regarded them disdainfully.
Nothing like as good, she said.
In fact, she was already feeling slightly panicky. Her promise to accompany Esk to Unseen University had been made without thinking, and Granny, who picked up what little she knew of the rest of the disc from rumours and the pages of her almanac, was convinced that they were heading into earthquakes, tidal waves, plagues and massacres, many of them diverse or even worse. But she was determined to see it through. A witch relied too much on words ever to go back on them. She was wearing serviceable black, and concealed about her person were a number of hatpins and a bread knife. She had hidden their small store of money, grudgingly advanced by Smith, in the mysterious strata of her underwear. Her skirt pockets jingled with lucky charms, and a freshly forged horseshoe, always a potent preventative in time of trouble, weighed down her handbag. She felt about as ready as she ever would be to face the world. The track wound down between the mountains. For once, the sky was clear, the high ramtops standing out crisp and white like the brides of the sky, with their trousseaus stuffed with thunderstorms. And the many little streams that bordered or crossed the path flowed sluggishly through strands of meadowsweet and go faster route. By lunchtime, they reached the suburb of Ahulan. It was too small to have more than one, which was just an inn and a handful of cottages belonging to people who couldn't stand the pressures of urban life. And a few minutes later, the cart deposited them in the town's main, indeed its only, square. It turned out to be market day. Granny Weatherwax stood uncertainly on the cobbles, holding tightly to Esk's shoulder as the crowd swirled around them. She had heard that lewd things could happen to country women who were freshly arrived in big cities, and she gripped her handbag until her knuckles whitened. If any male stranger had happened to so much as nod at her, it would have gone very hard indeed for him. Esk's eyes were sparkling. The square was a jigsaw of noise and colour and smell. On one side of it were the temples of the disc's more demanding deities, and weird perfumes drifted out to join with the reeks of commerce in a complex rag-rug of fragrances. There were stalls filled with